Welcome to Communication Studio, the podcast that helps you build confidence, captivate your audience, and master every presentation, from meetings to the stage. This is Communication Studio.
Welcome to Communication Studio. I am Mike Knott, and it's an absolute pleasure to be here with you. This is Communication Studio. The point of Communication Studio is communication is at the heart of every single thing we do in the world, whether it's a relationship, a project, at work, our friends, everything revolves around communication. Without communication, we could not exist. And yet it's overlooked. It's not really focused on. We don't really think about it or what we need to do and how we should communicate. And some of us struggle, some of us succeed naturally, some of us turn on this ability to talk to people when we're out in the open, and then we shrink back into ourselves in the evening, and others thrive on communication and have to be around people all the time. And we broadly group those into introvert and extrovert, and then we've all realized there are many more categories around that than simply introvert or extrovert. And people will say, well, I'm an introverted extrovert, and you'll think, how does that work? Well, I'm an extroverted introvert. I don't understand how that works. I think everybody is unique, but communication is at the absolute core of everything we do. So whether that's working towards a nice family meal at Christmas and not having Uncle Sam upset, or Gary saying something he shouldn't, or Jessica storming off in this drop, whatever it may be, communication is so important. And I'm going to be focusing on the professional side of that. So whether that's a meeting you want to go really well and you want your meetings to be better, or you struggle to get your voice heard in a meeting and you think, I'm just drowned out. They never listen to my ideas, and then they take my ideas because the guy next to me says the same idea I had, and then I'm never given any credit for it. And how do I get my voice heard? Or you're great at the meetings, you're great at Zoom and Teams, but then suddenly you're asked to present on stage. And how do you turn that into something spectacular? Because that's your one chance to shine. So how does that come across in a way that you really, really want to stand out, and it's just so polished, everybody's like, oh, we need to have you doing that again. That was amazing. Or you've got stage fright and you're not really interested in doing it again, but the one time you have to do it, you want it to go really well. Now, communication has been an absolute passion of mine since the age of 16, when I realized it for the first time. And we had in our school at the time, we had a daily bulletin that would be passed around to every tutor group. And in the morning, that would, well, sometimes be read out by the teacher, whoever your tutor was. Most people wouldn't really listen, so any important notices were missed quite often, or just not bothered to be read out, especially as you got older throughout the school. And those, I always think the correlation is as you get older, the importance of those messages increases. So if you miss them, it's even more important. Yet as you get older, the teacher seems to care less about reading them out, and you care less about listening to them. So that's a bit of an issue. So I decided my solution to that was to pitch to the head teacher to create a school radio station. We didn't have one. We were a performing arts school, and I wanted to have a school radio station. So I decided to put my first ever business case together at the age of 16. And I went to the head teacher, and I figured asking for money would be a bit of a pain. So I came up with a fundraising plan. I was a bit of a DJ at the time, so I decided to put on a school disco if they would give me permission to, and all proceeds raised would go towards the radio station. And I booked the meeting with the head teacher, and phenomenally, she said yes, but she wanted us to raise half the funds, and then they would match the other half. I think we needed a few thousand pounds at the time, which to me at the age of 16 was an incredible amount of money. So we went about raising those funds. We raised, I think, just shy of £2,000, and they decided, you know, we'd put the effort in and went ahead with the school radio station. And then bizarrely, one school holidays, I found myself at school directing this contractor around, installing speakers in the ceilings wherever I wanted them. It was the most bizarre experience. But What it meant was we were able to put a school radio station together. Suddenly those bulletins were being heard around the school in a different media, a cool media, not just a boring piece of paper being read out by your tutor, but suddenly something that was quite cool with cool music and entertainment. And so suddenly people were listening, and we gave interaction as well. A bulletin doesn't give any interaction, but with the school radio station, you could text in, you could have your alerts read out. So it was just a phenomenal way of bringing communication to the core of everybody at the school. And ever since then, I've put that towards everything I do. So whenever I'm at work, in my personal life, I just think communication is absolutely so important. So what I hope from this podcast you will gain is the ability to understand how communication works, both verbal, non-verbal, up on stage, in a meeting, and everywhere in between. And we'll be providing tips. We'll also have guest speakers on as well, sharing insights. It won't just be from me. And sharing, of course, scientific studies on the way we learn, we absorb things, and how you should present things as well. So all of that is coming up on Communication Studio. Stay tuned. I hope you enjoy. And if you do, please subscribe, join, listen again, and share it with all of your friends. And I'll really appreciate it. Thank you.
Level up your presentation game with Communication Studio.
So the first thing I wanted to tackle was what communication is. So we probably all think we know, but if I ask you, what are the different types of communication, you know, what occurs in your head initially? So talking is probably the first thing we think of with communicating. So we all talk to each other, but there are different types of communication. So there's obviously verbal communication, talking, generally making a noise. There's non-verbal communication. So body language has a huge impact on how you're perceived, how you get your message across, the tone. It adds to the tone of your voice by being able to see how you're portraying that, which is why sometimes when we communicate in a written form, the tone we mean isn't always the tone that's received. And that's why the emoji was invented, to add some emotion into the messages that we're sending, as the rise of the text message and WhatsApp, etc., became increasingly more popular. We needed a way to express our emotions beyond the text that we were sending. And of course, visual as well. So we all probably use PowerPoint or Google Slides or an equivalent. And how many people, and I know this is 100% of people, how many people have seen a bad presentation? One where there's just too many boring slides. And that's all communication. It's overlooked. The visual element of your communication helps convey your message. And if you've ever seen somebody and they've always got really good slides and you don't really understand why. And usually it's just as simple as they've got a clear message on their slides that they're communicating. And so it aids the story they're telling you or the message they're giving you. And so you enjoy it more. And because you're enjoying it more, you think, oh, these slides are incredible. And sometimes, yes, they are aesthetically pleasing. They look great. But it's not just that. It's the story you're telling. That's what really brings slides or any kind of visual aid into its own. And that is all part of communication. So communication helps us with things like building relationships. And we're sticking to the professional side here. So, of course, it's important for your personal relationships, your friends, your relationships, your family. But in a professional sense, it's important when talking to your manager, talking to your peers, talking to customers, or whatever your role may be. It's really important for your message to be communicated clearly. And misunderstandings happen all the time. And usually that's because of a bad form of communication. It's really important for achieving goals. So working as a team, leadership as a leader, or reporting into a leader. And of course, persuading. We all want to persuade. Every single week that we work, we will want to persuade somebody of something. Now, you might not think of it like that because it might be a really small thing. Like, is it okay if I do this at 12 o'clock instead of 2 o'clock? Or perhaps it's, you know, I can't hit that deadline. We're going to be a week late. or I'd really aiming for this promotion, and here's why I think I'm worthy of that promotion. Whatever it is you're asking for, and it could be something really minor or something significant, and each will differ week by week, and you'll have your harder weeks and your easier weeks. It's all forms of communication, and we want to make sure we get those across as clearly as possible, so in such an engaging way that they want to hear more from you. That's when you know you've really hit the jackpot, when they want to hear more from you. And of course, we've talked about the positives, but we also want to avoid the negatives, the misunderstandings, any conflicts. So we want to make sure we are really, really clear and avoid those situations. Because you know, you absolutely know that as soon as you're in a negative situation, you've got to dig your way out of that. You've got to defend that. You've got to say, no, that's not what I meant. I didn't mean that. What I meant was, suddenly really, really hard to do. So we're going to do all of that on the Communication Studio podcast. We're going to talk about why it matters, how it matters, and what we're going to do to solve it. I'm going to actually give you tips. And those tips are going to be useful, practical tips you can take use of as well. Also, head to the website, communicationstudio.co.uk. You'll find our blog there with proactive tips on how you can avoid things like stage fright and how you can communicate clearly as well. And that's all coming up on Communication Studio.
From meetings to the stage, this is Communication Studio.
I wanted to give an example of lack of communication as well. So communicating is all about when to communicate. We've all got those people, right? You can probably picture somebody in your mind right now who over-communicates. Now, over-communication comes in so many different forms. So maybe they're the ones who always write an essay as an email when a single line could do. There's somebody who talks for 10 minutes when 1 minute was allocated to them. Or they are somebody who always overcomplicates everything when they talk. So you're sat there scratching your head trying to figure out what it is they actually mean. And you think, how did you make it that complicated in your head? I just don't get it. So one success story I've had with communicating, I was involved in a project which had several very vocal people involved in it. And this was a few years ago. And I was involved in this project. Now, I had valid things I wanted to say, but I didn't want them to be lost in the noise because there were so many opinions. Now, I call this opinion fest. When you've got the constant opinions coming from every single corner, it just becomes noise because each of those people are clever. Each of those people are raising valid points, but you can't listen to every single one of them. So how do you communicate in that situation? And I'm sure everybody's been in that situation. So for me, in that situation at the time, I decided to always sit back and absorb. Say nothing. And I would let's say it was an hour-long call on Zoom. So, you know, we're taking away any kind of body language here. You've just got, you know, your shoulders in frame and your face. And you want to get your point across. Interrupting is always a little bit harder on Zoom as well, or Teams. And so what I did, I let the conversation flow. I let all these opinions happen. I let opinion fest happen. And then as we're drawing to a close, not quite at the point where everybody's saying goodbye, but I would either wait for somebody to say, hey, Mike, you haven't said anything yet. What do you think? So then I'm invited to my opinion. Then everybody's listening to my opinion because I've been asked to share it. Or I listen to what everybody's saying. I dismiss the parts where I think, oh, somebody's argued against the point I was going to make and they've actually made a really good point. So I'm not going to make that point now, which reduces the amount of times I look silly or I have my opinions rejected. And I then summarize, I say, oh, I've listened to X and I've listened to Y. And I think what we should do is this. And now I'm not involved in that kind of, you know, almost argumentative bickering that was happening earlier in the call. I've just sat back, absorbed that, let them have their say, then I sweep in with my summary and my idea at the end. Now, not everybody can do that, or you'll end up with silence on a call until everybody tries to speak at the end. So obviously it doesn't work. But I think, you know, you've probably been in that situation where there's a lot of people talking and you're trying to make yourself heard. And the times you do make yourself heard, it's just one of the other noises, so nobody particularly listens. If you're in that situation, my advice is to sit back, absorb it all, and either say nothing in that meeting and say something in the next meeting, or say something towards the end of that meeting. And what you'll find, and what I found, and this was the result of this was a project. So after several calls like this, I had the project lead saying to me, "Hey, Mike, I actually really value your opinion. You're always coming up with really good ideas. So, you know, I'd love to get your thoughts on this." And then suddenly I was given more of a promoted role in the project. And as new projects come up then, they're saying, "Oh, wonder if Mike can help us with this. Mike's always got some good ideas." Rather than my ideas being lost in the noise. So it's just a great tip there for communicating by saying less. You know, you'll hear the phrase "less is more." It's such a valid phrase. It's so valid. So sometimes sitting back and absorbing and making your point towards the end or at another time is the absolute best way to communicate. Not always, but I wanted to share that that little anecdote with you now. Miscommunication, as I talked about earlier, can be such a pain, can't it? I mean, I think the best example of this is in personal relationships. You're in a relationship and you either reply to a message, or the best one is somebody says, "Oh, how do I look?" And you hesitate. Or should you never hesitate? And of course, that's misinterpreted as, you know, "Oh, you don't like it." Or, "I look horrible," or, "I look ugly," or, "I look fat," or, you know, whatever the negative association might be, because you didn't answer immediately. Because maybe you were just considering your response, which, by the way, you should never do in that situation. But on a serious note, in the business world, misinterpretation of tone, body language is so important and something to really, really try to avoid. So maybe they, you know, you look... You're in a meeting. I've seen this many times. Somebody looks disinterested in a meeting. The person running that meeting, or the most senior person in that meeting, has just got such a negative opinion of you because you're sat back. Maybe you're just chilling, listening, and you're actually very interested, and that's just your natural slump and the way you like to sit. But of course, it's misinterpreted as disinterested or bored, or you don't respect the people in the meeting, which is even worse. The next thing we might have is an overloading of messages. Now, this drives me nuts. First one is when people send out internal acronyms, particularly a three-letter acronym, and you'll say, "Oh, yeah, hi, Mrs. Customer. We've been working with the ABC, and we think we've got the DEF configured, and we should have the XYZ over with you tomorrow." And they're going, "I have no idea what you're talking about. What are these things?" So that's the jargon. Also, messages. Every single message we send, we should aim to be as clear as possible, which means we shouldn't send too many of them because that takes away the clarity. We need to be as succinct as possible. Avoid unnecessary details. Avoid sending too many messages. And you know what? The best way to solve that? Don't rush. That message probably doesn't need to be sent right now. There are exceptions to this, of course. But generally speaking, that message does not need to be sent now. Another area or issue we're going to look at as well, fear or anxiety around public speaking. I feel like when some people are called up on stage, it's like, I am going on to the stage. And we don't want that, do we? We want it to be really exciting. And I'm going to go up there and I'm going to give my best. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to stand up on stage. For me, that comes with confidence. Confidence of speaking in front of a crowd, not overthinking that. But also knowing your subject and your material. If you know it, be confident to talk about it. And that's one of my biggest tips. We'll cover this in all loads and loads of detail, of course. And if you can present something to anybody. You can present anything to anybody. So if you have a subject that you are really passionate about and you like talking about, think about the reasons why you like talking about that. Usually you'll find the biggest reason for that is because you know the subject, you're confident, and you like talking about it. That's your passion. So make sure you try and drive that passion into every presentation you need to give. And if the way it's been given to you, because often we're told, hey, here's the slide deck from the US, we're going to copy that, we're going to turn it, we're going to make it European and then present this. And you might look at it and go, this just is not me at all. Totally fine, I think, in my opinion. So change it. Change it to be your style. You don't need to even change the visual representation. Just change the talk track. Make it more suited to you and suited to your audience. You'll be told in this podcast with Communication Studio some tips on how to present. And some of it might come across, a little bit too excitable for your typical audience. Or maybe not culturally relevant to your audience, and that's absolutely fine. Make it your own, tailor it to you. The more confident you are with the subject, the better it will come across. Now, in terms of being clear and simple and straightforward, clarity is the word we're looking for here. And I'm going to talk through the three C's of communication. The first is clarity. Keep your message simple. Use the KISS approach. We've all heard of the KISS approach. Keep it short and simple. Now, some messages are complex. If you work in a particularly technical or compliance-focused area of the world or a really scientific area of the world, it's never going to be simple, and that's absolutely fine. But keep it as short and simple as your subject allows. Don't overcomplicate it for the sake of it. And that's what we tend to do sometimes. We babble and we waffle. So make sure you've got a really clear message. Now, if you are starting out on that and you're thinking, that's great, Mike, I don't know how to do that. And if you have your own method, great, please carry on with that. But if you don't have a method and you're looking for one, the way I conquered this was to make bullet points, not paragraphs. So whether I'm presenting on stage or I'm presenting in a meeting or I just need this to go well, I need to make my points, I will write those as bullet points and I'll keep those as simple as possible. Next up is connection. So with communication, we are able to build connections. You'll sometimes hear this referred to as networking, and networking terrifies me. Small talk on a grand scale. No, thank you. But of course, building connections and building rapport is so important. And this applies to everything. Working with your peers in your team, working with customers or whoever you're working with. It's really, really important that we build a connection as quickly as possible. So that's achieved through several different ways that we don't always think about. So talking is the obvious one, but we're going to avoid talking in this one. We're going to talk about other aspects that supplement your talking. For example, tone, the way you speak, the way you come across is so important. You don't want to come across like you don't know what you're talking about. You don't want to come across arrogant. You don't want to come across as though you don't care about them either. So you need to try and find that right balance. Now, that we will cover throughout the podcast because that's a lot all in one go. But try and convey the right tone that the recipient is looking for. So try to mirror them. If they're looking for a really formal conversation, don't come across all jokey. If they're looking for more of a relaxed conversation, they're very chilled, don't go in too formal. You'll just miss the mark. You need to be as in line with them as possible. And I'll give you an example. Many years ago, I had to visit the ASOS offices and I was working with them. And earlier in my day, I had visited the Daily Mail. And the Daily Mail liked people to go in smartly dressed. And of course, ASOS, being a fast fashion retailer, preferred me to go in jeans and a t-shirt. And so I had to fit both meetings in one day. So I went smart to my Daily Mail meeting. And then I trekked across London and went to the ASOS offices. And ASOS were like, what are you doing? Why are you wearing that? you absolute idiot, why are you wearing that? And they but fortunately I knew them well, so they made a bit of a joke out of it, but I stood out like a sore thumb in their offices walking through in smart attire. Nobody wore smart attire. They told me they laughed at people who turned up to their interviews in smart attire, which sounded quite mean, but still. Mirroring people and building that rapport early is really important in all aspects of communication, whether you're talking about turning up in a uniform, like I was, talking about turning up in the right clothing, but also conveying the right tone, the way you speak, the way you present yourself, the way you look, the facial expressions, really, really important. And of course, building a connection also includes listening. So we talk about talking, and I said this is all going to supplement your listening. So also, active listening is so important. So start a call. It does not matter if you don't know everything going into a call. And this sometimes freaks people out. I'm not prepared. I don't know what it is they want. I need more time to prepare. And particularly if you work in sales. We don't always have the luxury of saying, hey, customer, can you give us all the information first so we feel prepared before we come into that call? Just is not going to happen. So you need to be able to adapt to that. So go into the call. Ask them a few questions, listen to their answers. They are there to feed you. Maybe the point of the call, even if it's a discovery call, and in any sense of any work you're doing, you're just trying to discover. They want an answer. You don't have the information to give them an answer. So you are there to listen, to absorb, and to understand what it is they are actually asking for. And that's active listening. Sitting there and absorbing and listening means so much to people on any length and any communication. Particularly if you're in a personal relationship, sometimes the person moaning at you, whether it, you know, maybe your other half, is moaning away about their job, and maybe sometimes you've gone, well, you know what you need to do? You need to do this. Tell Sandra she can do this and this and this. And then the other person gets annoyed with you and they walk off and you think, oh, I was only trying to help. Have you been in that situation before? All they wanted you to do was listen and go, oh, that sounds awful. I'm so sorry. Active listening, so important. And within connection as well, with body language, make sure you're mirroring body language. It makes so much difference. We talk through our bodies. We don't think about it. It's a subconscious thing, unless you're particularly knowledgeable in that subject. So make sure you're mirroring their body language as well. If they're turned towards you, turn towards them. If they're sat openly. If they're leaning forward, lean forward. You know, try to mirror the way they are. It's all part of tone. So we speak the way they speak, we talk their language, but also we need to mirror their body language as well to feel comfortable. You ever seen somebody take a drink in a coffee shop and the person opposite them takes a drink at the exact same moment? Have they discussed that? Have they coordinated that? Have they synchronized that? No, but subconsciously they have. They are mirroring each other. And that is the sort of thing we need to do to build an effective connection as quickly as possible. The other thing I've mentioned is confidence. Now, confidence, a tricky one. Confidence gives you so much when it comes to communication because you're comfortable, right? So, ways you can achieve confidence: practice, prepare, understand. Know that you are the subject matter expert. And sometimes it's okay not to have the answer straight away. But any answers you do have, you should be confident in. And what happens is, let's say I'm asked 5 questions and I know the answer to 4 of them, but I don't know the answer to the 5th. Holding my hand up and saying, hey, do you know what? I don't know the answer to that last one, guys. I'm going to need to look that up and get back to you. It cements the other 4. They now have full faith that the other 4 that you answered were accurate and true because you admitted you didn't know the last one. So practice, preparation, listening, all of the above will give you the clarity, connection, and confidence to achieve effective communication.
Level up your presentation game with Communication Studio.
So I've got a practical exercise for you to try. It's nice and simple. Let's say you've listened to the podcast and you think, Mike has hopefully shared some good tips here. There's some areas that I think I'm good at. There's some areas I think I need to improve on. Maybe you're amazing at everything. Maybe you struggle with confidence. That's absolutely fine. Everybody is unique. So my 1 minute exercise, 1 minute of homework. Practice the 1 minute elevator pitch challenge. And I did this with a group of colleagues recently where I gave them 2 minutes to present to me on any subject they like. And I even had paper clips presented to me. They had 2 minutes, and at the end of 2 minutes, they were going to hear this noise, which I had great fun with. They just had 2 minutes because 2 minutes is hard. You don't think it is, but it's really hard for talk in just 2 minutes. So that practices everything I've discussed. It keeps it short and simple and clear. We're going to build clarity. We're going to try and build a connection and build and use confidence to put that across in 1 minute. So you've got 1 minute to explain your role, an idea you've had, or a product in 1 minute. Now, I had paper clips presented to me, so any subject you want. And what I'd love you to do is just record that for yourself, just with audio on a voice note on your phone or with video if you want to. Do that for yourself. Try and do it in 1 minute. Give yourself 60 seconds. No visual aids, no PowerPoints, no assistance, just you describing your role, an idea, or a product in 1 minute. And then if you're feeling really confident, send them in to me. You can find me on all the socials, communicationstudiopodcast@gmail.com as well. Or you can find me on LinkedIn, Mike Knott, as well. But if you don't want to send it in, just practice for yourself. And hopefully some of the tips you've picked up today will be beneficial and help you in all your meetings going forwards, because you'll be able to be really clear, concise, and a great communicator. So today we've discussed the point of the podcast. We are going to give you so many tips on this, whether it's verbal, non-verbal, written, or visual communication. Aid you in building relationships, achieving goals, and avoiding misunderstandings. Help you when it comes to tone and body language. Avoid overloading with messages, jargon, and unnecessary details. I'm going to conquer that fear and anxiety around public speaking. You'll be ready to go on the stage with thousands of people if you listen to this podcast. And of course, the 3 C's of communication with clarity, connection, and confidence as well. Record your 1 minute elevator pitch. And otherwise, thank you very, very much. Join us next time on the Communication Studio podcast. And I can't wait to hear from you. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Thanks for tuning in to Communication Studio. Don't forget to subscribe, share, and leave us a review. Join us next time as we unlock more secrets to presenting with confidence. Communication Studio, your guide to presentation success.